Right. You'll take your Bibles and turn to Titus chapter 3 and verse 5. Titus chapter 3 and verse 5 says, "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost." Let's pray. Father in heaven, we want to thank you for this night again. We want to thank you for the missionary reports and all that you're doing on behalf of our missionaries. And what a blessing it is that you have brought the Wallys back to the States in time for Brother Wally to find out he needed open heart surgery, and that seems to be successful and all at this point. And we thank you for what you're doing on his behalf. Pray that you'll continue to be with Miss Donna, and we thank you for both of them and their many years of ministry and the opportunity we had to be a part of that. But Father, tonight as we look into your word, and Father, as we look into this doctrine of salvation, and we see that nothing at all that we could do could earn us salvation in Jesus Christ. It's all because of what he did when he came, laid down his life, and took it up again that we could have eternal life. So we thank you for what you're going to accomplish tonight as we look into your word, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So it cannot be overstated that salvation can have nothing to do with human merit. Nothing at all. There's so many people out there that think that they have to do something. And even when you take the Bible and you show them where they don't have to do something, they just think that's too easy. I have to do something, right? We live in a day and age where you have to do something to get something in return. Otherwise, you're just a thief, right? You go out and take whatever you want, and you're a thief. Every time there's a free gift given, if it was $20 bills, there'd be nobody that would turn that down, right? Here's something of much greater value, and people say, "I'm not interested." Boggles the mind. How can you not be interested in a free gift? A free gift. I remember a couple times in my real estate career, we'd do big open houses, and we'd give away stuff at the open houses. And the number of people that would show up when you gave away stuff was incredible, because they all came to get something free. When we didn't offer that, you wouldn't see hardly anybody through an open house. We learned pretty quick that the way to get people through the house was to offer free stuff. Isn't it amazing how you offer the free gift of salvation in Jesus Christ and they're not interested? When it's worth so much more than anything we could give away free here? It cannot be based on our righteousness. If it was, all of mankind would be hopelessly condemned to hell for all eternity. Because our righteousness is never going to be enough. Never. Every man and woman on this planet is a sinner who deserves to pay for their own sins. Every member of the human race has fallen short of God's holy standard. God has a standard, and it's perfection. Complete holiness. And we don't measure up. The only way that we can have salvation is through what Jesus did. Without him, there would be no salvation. If works have anything to do with salvation, then no one on earth can be saved. Look at Romans chapter 3. Oops. Romans 3, verses 19 and 20. Romans 3:19 says, "Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin." Since there's none righteous, then all are condemned. Since there's none are worthy, God must punish sin. And since God loves and wants to save man, then there therefore must be another plan, one that has nothing to do with the good works of man. If there had been any possible set of righteous commandments that man would have kept and thereby been saved on the basis of his own merit, then righteousness and salvation would have come through obedience to the commandments of God. And yet, anybody be able to keep all the commandments of God? I know there's people who say they keep the Ten Commandments, but that's not all the commandments from God. And we all know they're not keeping the Ten Commandments, even though they think they are. And again, for the most part, they can't even quote them. In Galatians 3:21, latter part of that verse, it says, "For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law." Problem is, there's no possible set of righteous commands that man would not have broken. What would we not have broken had God said? I mean, if God, it doesn't matter what God says, man's going to break it. Over and over and over, right? Thou shalt not kill, what happens? Man kills. Thou shalt not lie, what happens? Man lies. Thou shalt not commit adultery, what happens? Man commits adultery. Over and over and over. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. We just break whatever God says we're not to do. Because we're bent on doing our own thing. And if we don't think so, back in the Old Testament, it talks about every man did that which was right in his own eyes. What's going on today? Same thing. Every man's doing that which is right in his own eyes. And where there's no punishment, so I have no problem persecuting whoever's doing this damage to the building and the grounds and all. I have no problem. People say, well, you're a Christian, you should let that slide. No. If they don't learn, they're going to keep doing it. There has to be some form of punishment to where it will correct their bad behavior. We live in a society that wants to give them benefits for breaking laws. Until it hurts too much, they're not going to change. Galatians 3:22, the first part of that says, "But the Scripture hath concluded all under sin." So the problem is not with the law. The problem is not with the law at all. Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. Look at Romans 7:7 and verse 12. Romans 7:7. "What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin but by the law, for I had not known lust except the law had said, Thou shalt not covet." And then verse 12. "Wherefore the law is holy, and the commandments holy, and just and good." So the problem is with man. The problem is with us. Our hearts are so wicked. And we keep thinking, why do people do some of the things they do? Because man's heart's wicked. Desperately wicked, the Bible tells us. It's amazing. You know, I was thinking the other day when I was out there cleaning off that stuff, I was thinking, in my wildest dreams, I would never, ever, ever want to do any vandalism to a church, because that's God's. And I would be so afraid of what God might do. I just can't even imagine. And now that I'm saved, I know more about God, and I think these people have no idea what they're messing with. My prayer has been, God, reveal who it is so they can be dealt with and possibly even they'll come to salvation in Jesus Christ. Most people say, no, God, just strike them dead, right? Well, I'm just saying, isn't that the human standpoint? Yeah, just strike them dead, I'm done. We need to be praying for them that they'd get saved. Our hearts are so wicked that even the most holy commandments merely provoke us to break them. Look at Romans chapter 7, verses 8 through 11. But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence, for without the law sin was dead. For I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. And the commandment, which was ordained to life, I found to be unto death. Verse 11, for sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me. And then drop to verses 13 and 14. Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. The problem is not that the standard of God is too high. The problem is that the sin of man is too low. We have a tendency, and I preached a message once about straddling that line, right? Here's the line. This is sin. This is righteousness, and we want to straddle that line. And God says, no, we need to be as close to Him as humanly possible and stay away from the sin. But we're on that, like a tightrope, ready to fall off on the sinful side because that's where we're leaning to. We have a hard time trying to live up to the standard that God has left for us. And yet, the Bible says that we can. We can live up to God's standard through Jesus Christ. We can't on our own, but through Jesus Christ we can. Reminds me of the message I preached on staying plugged into the power source. Jesus has all power. We can overcome through His power, but we got to stay connected to the power source. The heathen, who have only the general revelation of God from within and from creation, do not live up to that standard. The non-religious, good and moral man, by man's standard, does not live up to the standards of his own conscience. Look at Romans chapter 2. Starting verse 1, it says, therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest, for wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself, for thou that judgest doest the same things. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things, and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or despisest thou the riches of His goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? But after thy hardness and impenitent heart treasurest up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds, to them who be patient, continuance in well-doing, seeking for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. But unto them that are contentious, and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil. of the Jew first and also of the Gentile. But glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. For there is no respect of persons with God. For as many as have sinned without law also shall also perish without law, and as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these, having not the law, are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. The religious man who has the holy law of God does not live up to that standard. And we've seen that over and over and over in the scriptures, right? The religious men, religious leaders of that day, what did Jesus say to them? He called them hypocrites. They knew what the law said, and they said that they were keeping it, but their actions spoke louder than their words. They weren't keeping it. But they required everybody else to. Isn't that interesting? You guys keep the law. I'll just say that I am. And we'll all get along fine, right? It's not the way it works. Or the preacher, right? The preacher has to keep all that, but we can do whatever we want. It's not how it works either. God didn't say that these things are for the preacher only. He said these are for his people to obey. There's a standard, and it's not just for the preacher of the gospel, it's for every child of God. Adam and Eve were only given one commandment, and they didn't live up to the standard. Can you imagine? Of all this garden, you can partake of whatever you want. But of this tree, you can't eat of it. So what do we want? What we can't have. Right? That's typical. It's amazing. Children learn it at an early age. This stuff here you can't have. You can have all this that you want. And the first thing they do is go to what they can't have. There could be no set of commandments that could possibly be deemed righteous that man would not break. Man's just bent on going against God. Then we come to plan two. A home in heaven for eternity could be given freely without good works based upon God's perfect and sinless righteousness. Since man is sinful and cannot possibly earn a home in heaven for eternity, then the only way for man to be saved is if God grants this salvation to the guilty by grace. By grace. God's righteous and merciful plan, God's plan of salvation is that he would grant his own righteousness to sinful man. It's like I said last week. God sees us, his children, as righteous because he sees us through the Lord Jesus Christ's righteousness. It's not because of ours. It's because he sees us through the Lord Jesus Christ. We have no righteousness of our own. Romans chapter 3 and verse 21 says, "But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets." Look at Philippians 3:9. It says, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Thank God that we have righteousness of God, but it's through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and what he has already done. Aren't you glad that it's not faith plus fill in the blank? Would we measure up? If it had to be anything that we could do, would we measure up? And the answer is no. There's no way we can. There's no way to measure up to God's standard. It takes faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and what he did because of his righteousness. We can be saved. All right, we're out of time there.